I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my own sheep, and my own know me.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Fear him, rather, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Can you not buy two sparrows for a penny? And yet not one falls to the ground without your Father knowing, why every hair on your head has been counted. So there is no need to be afraid. You are worth more than hundreds of sparrows. So if anyone declares himself for me in the presence of men, I will declare myself for him in the presence of my Father in heaven. But the one who disowns me in the presence of men, I will disown in the presence of my Father in heaven." This is the gospel.
Praise
be to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Said those who refuse to learn the lessons of history are condemned to repeat them. It seems strange that all through the Middle Ages, there was a great fight about the rights of the Church and the freedom of the Church to run its own affairs. And many people spent lives of great misery trying to preserve the independence of bishops, leaders within the Church. And no doubt there was wrong done on both sides, as wars always distort people's behaviour. But today we keep the feast of a man whose life was lost in that battle. And we remember that there is a vital matter at stake there. In the freedom of the Church to preach the gospel, no one is ever above its message. The message is from God, and when God speaks, no earthly power should govern its mode of address or its way of being proclaimed. If any earthly power does, then it is no longer God who speaks, but a man who makes the word of God what he wants it to be. And as we see now, the Church of England, which was formerly subjected to the power of the Crown in 1535, laying its finger on its lips today over the same matter of divorce that was there at its inception. We may feel that the lessons of history are still being learned. Today we are praying in the context of happiness, the Christmas tide. In this octave of Christmas, we keep every day as if it is Christmas Day. And Christmas means, for most people, joy, rejoicing, happiness. And yet the Church marks every day of the octave with the Feast of a Martyr, or one who has spoken of the Passion of Christ, and John the Evangelist, Stephen, the first martyr, St. Thomas of Canterbury today, and the Holy Innocents yesterday. the church taking us deep into the mystery of suffering in this time of joy. And that is how Christian joy is. It's never far away from the mystery of the cross, which leads to the resurrection. And the joy which we treasure and keep in our feasts is not a facile one which just relates to earthly happiness. It is a supernatural joy which comes directly from the risen Lord himself. And so it's not a distortion of Christmas to be praying about a great sadness at this time. And whenever the door to life opens for us, there will be the burden of grief to carry. Life is the gift of God, and he gives it to those who tread the way of the cross. And we are never afraid when he asks us to go down that path, because Christ has trodden it before us and has made it a path of light, a path of community, a sharing of suffering so as to inherit joy. The church teaches about the little ones who die, that being incapable of evil, they are immediately taken into the light of God. I don't suppose it matters much when you die for God. An aged and scarred individual who has gone through trials and torments, great victories and defeats, will come to God like a little child. Only the little child will inherit the kingdom of God, says Jesus. And if we can say about the little one we remember today, a word of great hope and consolation, it is that he will grow to the full stature of Christ, the full joy of human capacity, not at the hands of fallible human beings, who, even as they bless and love one another, also damage and exploit one another. He will grow to the fullness which God has in store for him directly in the presence of his Father in heaven. And so the joy which he receives will be unalloyed by all the mystery of grief through which we have to pass. As we pass through this grief, let us remember that we are doing it on his behalf. He has no grief, no pain to bear, only a burden of everlasting joy which will grow eternally for him. And so he can be brave and generous in this time and remember the words of the Lord: every hair on your head has been counted. There is no need for you to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.